We are preparing for Thursday Night Football and the kickoff of Week 3 of the NFL season tonight. And to help us get ready for the game, Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports joins us now. Frank, what have you made of the New York Jets, the hosts tonight, so far this season?
It's been just tough scheduling-wise for them early on. Look, you go on the road, your first game with your quarterback who has played four snaps and 20 months or whatever it was, and you have to play the San Francisco 49ers on the road on a Monday night. Like, that's really tough. You come back, you play a road game the next week on short rest. So, yeah, they didn't look great against the Titans, but I kind of gave them a pass for that. And now you come back and you play a Thursday night game. So I don't think we're even going to find out much tonight. I think they've looked fine. I don't know. I don't know a lot about the Jets right now. They're not throwing it downfield too much. You wonder if that's Aaron Rodgers. You wonder if that's just what defenses are giving them. You wonder if it's just going to take a while for everything to click. They've just been such a weird scheduling spot all season long so far, including tonight, that I don't know if we've really seen the Jets' true talent level yet and what they're going to be.
Rodgers is obviously rusty. He's also old, though.
Yeah.
I mean, how long is it going to take him, do you think, to knock off the rust? Because I thought specifically against Tennessee, even though the numbers were better, like, he missed a bunch of throws he'll be making in a month, hopefully.
I would think so, too. We're not going to get the Aaron Rodgers of even 3 years ago, who was, still in MVP contention. I can't believe that Aaron Rodgers at age 40 coming off that injury is ever going to be that level again. But can he be a good, competent quarterback? Yeah, I think so. Look, I picked them to come out of the AFC this year and represent them in the Super Bowl because their defense was amazing. And they have offensive talent. They rebuilt their offensive line. The only variable for them really was Aaron Rodgers. Can he play at a good level? I didn't need him to play at a great level for the Jets to be a good football team. Just be good. Be 12th to 15th best quarterback in the NFL. And I still think he can get there. Like you said, he is rusty. He is working with a new set of teammates. It's a whole different situation for him. It's almost like his first year there. So I'm willing to give them a pass for what has happened. But as long as they keep winning. Like, you can't – these excuses run hollow when you lose a home game to the Patriots tonight if that happens. As long as you keep winning and you're 2-1 dealing with these issues, it's a lot easier than, 1-2 and the sky's falling.
Frank, I want to ask you about the Patriots. I wasn't a particularly good student, which will probably surprise none of our listeners. And I remember the look my Spanish teacher in eighth grade gave me when I got a question right, like answered a question in a full Spanish sentence. It was like out of nowhere. That's kind of how I'm looking at the Patriots. I thought it'd be them and Carolina vying for like among the worst teams ever assembled. Like, they wouldn't be able to get out of the huddle without spiking themselves and it'd be a disaster. They very easily could be 2-0. I've been really impressed given my expectations were so low.
Yeah, I think we need to give Gerard Mayo a ton of credit. They're playing hard for him. They're playing well. They know what they are. They're playing within themselves. I mean, they're not trying to ask Jacoby Brissett to drop back 35 times. I mean, they're really managing the game well. A lot better. I thought they'd be awful. Like, I was talking, the couple weeks before the season started, I was looking at their schedule saying, 0-17 is not impossible here. I don't think it's going to happen, but look at the schedule and tell me which wins you come up with. They play really well against the Bengals, a huge upset. And then last week they played well enough to win. They just didn't. I mean, Seattle got them at the end. I think Seattle's going to be a really good football team. So, yeah, just a ton of credit to Gerard Mayo, who I didn't know. It was impossible to know what Mayo was going to be as a head coach, and he was taking over for perhaps the greatest coach of all time. So I just thought that he would struggle a little bit, early on as a rookie, as a guy who's never been a defensive coordinator. But I think that if you're the Patriots right now, as we sit here today, I think you feel pretty good about elevating him to be your head coach and where things are going with him. And we'll see. I mean, it's still early on. It's only two games. But I think he is, so far to this point showing he could be a pretty good NFL head coach for this team.
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports with us here on G&D. When do we see Drake May?
I just don't know. I thought it was going to be like a week or two, okay, well, it's not going to work with Jacoby and they're going to have to make the move. But I think the counter to that, though, like, Jacoby's played well. But part of the reason May's not playing is because they were obviously worried about the situation around him. Well, situation around it doesn't look that bad anymore, does it? Like, their offensive line's playing a lot better than I thought it would. Ramondre Stevenson's running the ball. So your excuses for not starting May are kind of not valid anymore. So I do think we see him at some point this year, but I do think it's going to be a while because I think Jacoby's playing well enough. He did not play well in the preseason, and so credit to him for really playing well when the regular season started. But he's playing well enough that they don't have to make that switch, and I think in a perfect world, the Patriots would like for May to sit as long as possible and still get, you know, a little taste of the NFL by the end of the year.
Frank Schwab on Grant and Danny. I think picking a winner for a survivor pool this week is really, really complicated and hard. Is there anybody that you really like in that regard?
Cleveland? I haven't given up on Cleveland being a good team, and I have given up on the Giants being a good team. So I think that one definitely stood out to me. There's another one, too. Tampa, I don't, I'm based in Colorado, and this Broncos offense is a nightmare right now. It is just bad. Like, they cannot move the ball. They're not going to have a functional offense for a first half of the season. I think Bo Nix will be fine eventually, but you're asking the sixth quarterback drafted in his rookie class to start day one. That was just tough, no matter who your coach is. So, yeah. But your survivor pools this year have been awful. Week one, Cincinnati loses, and then last week, pretty much everybody except the Chargers lost. If you didn't have the Chargers, you're done. So, yes, it is hard to even just pick one winner in the NFL. Pick a straight-up winner this week. It has been difficult, and that kind of speaks to how crazy and unpredictable this season has been so far.
Yeah, the biggest underdog in the league has won outright in week one and in week two. By the way, Washington right now is the biggest underdog in week three in Monday Night Football against Cincinnati. So maybe that means the Commanders will knock off the Bengals in primetime, and Cincinnati will fall to 0-3. You mentioned Bo Nix, so I actually want to follow you down this rabbit hole on the rookie quarterbacks. We're happy here because Daniels, if you add in the running, has clearly been the best of the three of the rookie QBs that are playing. But Caleb Williams has been dreadful. Bo Nix has been really bad. Like, what are your thoughts on trouble in paradise with those other two guys and just how long it could take to get going?
Yeah, C.J. Stroud screwed up things for everybody. Now everybody thinks that, oh, Caleb Williams is just going to be a 4,000-yard passer on day one. It doesn't work like that for most guys. C.J. Stroud is just different. He was just unbelievable as a rookie. Most rookie quarterbacks struggle. And even C.J. Struggled early last season. It took him 2-3 weeks to get things going. So, I mean, in Chicago's case, I think that Caleb is just falling into bad habits he had last year at USC. The offensive line in front of him is not good in Chicago, but he's got to get rid of the ball. Like, I mean, that coaching staff has to drill into his head, look, three steps and out. Like, we're not trying to run around and do everything, because that play you might have made against Washington State last year, well, there's going to be three Texans defenders there when you try to heave it downfield to Cole Kmet and they're going to pick it off. This is the NFL. It's different. So I think that they just have to get Caleb to not do so much. I think Caleb's going to be great. I don't have any worry about him whatsoever. It's just tough early on as he gets adjusted. Bo Nix, I think he's going to be fine. I never had a high ceiling for him. I never thought he was going to be fantastic. I thought he's going to be a perfectly reasonable quarterback in a Sean Payton offense. And he still could get there. It's just really, really hard for right now. That team is not good. Broncos fans got really, really excited in the end of August, and I've given them a hard time because I made the joke, like, you know, it's hard for Bo Nix to play with a gold jacket that the, you know, Broncos fans fitted him for in August. I mean, it's just not happening. It doesn't happen that way for many rookies. And even Jaden Daniels, he's been perfectly good. Like, there's nothing wrong with him at all. But for the first 6-7 quarters of the season, they clearly said, just get rid of the ball. We don't want you throwing it downfield. So every pass he threw for really until the second half last week when he had to make plays was screen pass, 2 yards, 3 yards, you know, -1 yard behind the line of scrimmage. So that just kind of speaks to how Washington wanted to protect him behind a bad offensive line. I don't think he's playing out of his mind. I don't think he's playing great. I think he's been perfectly reasonable. I think he's going to continue to grow. I think the world of Daniels, I think he's going to be a heck of a player, but it's hard to play quarterback in the NFL as a rookie. And we're seeing that from pretty much everybody. It's just Jaden has kind of navigated it better than everybody else.
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, with us on Grant and Danny. Of these surprise, I put that in quotes, 2-0 teams. I mean, the Chargers played two bad teams, so they're 2-0, but I don't know how for real they are, but that's kind of the question here. Of these sort of surprise 2-0 teams, thinking the Chargers, Minnesota, and New Orleans, who has the best season?
I think that the answer most people would give is New Orleans, but I might go Minnesota just because I have so much trust in our coaching staff. Aside from the guys in Kansas City, that might be the best coaching staff in the NFL right now, at least on a short list. I mean, John Harbaugh's great and all that. So I get it. But Kevin O'Connell clearly is just kind of a quarterback whisperer at this point. He's had Sam Darnold play at a level we haven't seen him play at consistently in his entire NFL career. And then Brian Flores, all the you know, controversy around him and the Dolphins and the lawsuit and all that, he kind of gets lost that that guy is a really, really, really good defensive coach. And you're seeing it. That San Francisco 49ers had 7 points through three quarters last week. That's because Minnesota's playing really well. I think they can keep this up. New Orleans, I don't know. I'm just having a hard time buying in. But the offense looks completely changed and different and great. I mean, they finally modernized the offense. You know, a new coordinator, Clint Kubiak, a lot of play action, a lot of pre-snap motion. Pretty much every cheat code you could have in the NFL, Clint Kubiak said, yeah, I'm just going to do that all the time. They're like, I think they're first in the NFL in pre-snap motion and in play action right now. And you can see Derek Carr looks comfortable. So I think they're going to be fine. I think, but I don't think they're some 13-win team or anything like that. And then the Chargers, I'm just not buying yet. Yeah, you beat the Raiders at home and you beat the Panthers, who are the 33rd best team in the NFL, because I can't even rank them 32 at this point. They're so bad. Like, they are. So what do I really take out of that? And even this week, you play a Pittsburgh team that has one touchdown in two games. They could easily be 3-0, and I'm going to be sitting here saying, I don't really think that much of the Chargers. But wins are wins, and it's great they're getting them.
You mentioned Seattle earlier as a team that you thought could be for real. I want to double-click on that. What does that look like? Because here's why I ask. San Francisco, if you play there, you pretty much are on the injury report now, in addition to Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, who we know. Now George Kittle popped up on the injury report. So it's almost like, you know, San Francisco, you know, when they're healthy, they're good. Well, they're not healthy. So now what does that mean for that division, and how good is Seattle? Can they take advantage?
Yeah, and I still think San Francisco wins that division going away. I still think that they're going to be good enough to squeeze out wins while some of these guys get healthy. But, you know, they did go 0-3 without Debo Samuel last year. He is an integral part of what they do. I'm not saying Debo's a better player than Christian McCaffrey. I mean, Christian's obviously great. Offensive player of the year and all that. But I think Debo's harder to replace just because he has such a unique skill set that they do struggle to replace him. And they're going to struggle on offense when he's not there. Seattle is just kind of this work in progress that's winning games. But I see, anyway, the way I look at it, I see the progress. That offense is really different with Grubb coming over from University of Washington, and Geno Smith looks really comfortable. And I just think that defense is going to get better and better. I'm part of the Mike McDonald herd. I think he is, people have called him the Sean McVay of defense, and I'm kind of buying in on that. I think he might be. He's just a really, really smart defensive coach, and maybe a really good head coach for all we know. They're 2-0, and I think they're just going to keep getting better and better and better. There's a lot of talent on that Seattle team. I think that Seattle team can make a playoff. Maybe not necessarily win a division, but be one of those, like, 10-win teams you really don't want to see in wildcard weekend if you're the Cowboys or Eagles or whoever they end up drawing.
Frank Schwab is with us here on Grant and Danny, Yahoo Sports, joining us to break down week three of the NFL season. The last game we watched in primetime as we get ready for Thursday Night Football was that stunner where the Falcons knocked off the Eagles and nobody really saw it coming at the end. What do you make of those two teams? Philly, super uneasy first 2 weeks, could easily be 0-2. The Falcons had that dud against the Steelers and then stole one, could also be 0-2. They got the Chiefs this week, but ran the ball really, really well. And Cousins seemed to come to life a little bit. What do you think about those two clubs?
Yeah, it's hard to say because I don't like to change my opinion based on a really, really small sample. And we're really giving the Falcons a lot of credit for one drive. I mean, with a minute 30 left to go in the game or however long it was, Saquon Barkley has a pass that he catches 95% of the time. And if he catches that, what are we saying about the Atlanta Falcons right now? They're 0-2 with one touchdown in each of their first two games. But they had the drive, and maybe he can get some momentum off of that. Maybe he could get some confidence off of that. Kirk finally did look good, and he looked comfortable. And I don't know, though. I'm not willing to buy fully in, but I'll tell you this. As far as they go this week, the Chiefs have a lot of issues. The Chiefs are a team that could be 0-2. Look at how close their first two games were. I mean, I say likely barely out of bounds, and then a crazy defensive pass interference call that a lot of people don't even think was DPI on 4th and 16. They're that close to being 0-2 with Isaiah Pacheco out for a long time. Hollywood Brown's out for all the regular season, it looks like. We got Travis Kelce's not doing anything. Like that team's in a little bit of trouble. Like, as far as not going to make the playoffs, but just can they play up to the Kansas City Chiefs level? I don't know that they can right now. They got a lot of injuries and a lot of stuff going on. So that's Atlanta. And then Philly, yeah, I don't know what to make of them. But Saquon Barkley catches that pass, they're 2-0, and we're feeling pretty good about Philly, right? Yeah, you struggle a little bit to beat the Packers, but they're going to be good. And you struggle a little bit to beat the Falcons, but they're not a terrible team either. So I don't want to change completely a turn on Philly based on one drop pass, pretty much. But, yeah, all the issues they had in the secondary and stuff kind of popped up when Kirk Cousins just sliced through them on that last drive. So I'm a little skeptical of the Eagles, but then again, I look at them going to New Orleans and say, why can't they beat New Orleans? This whole season has been weird. So, you know, the line moved for people who bet, that line moved 6 points from last week. It was Philly was favored by 3 in a look-ahead line, and now they're 3-point underdogs. What happened? Like, because Saquon Barkley dropped a pass? I don't know. So I think Philly's going to be fine, but they just might not be that Super Bowl type of team that they were 2 years ago.
Are the Lions still maybe, nipping at the heels of the 49ers in terms of best teams in the NFC, or are we reeling a little bit after week 2?
I still have faith in them. I mean, they outgained the Buccaneers 460-something to 218, I think it was. I might be a little bit wrong on my numbers there. It was one of those games where the better team didn't win. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tampa Bay. Like you got it. You won the game. You came up with a clutch interception, you know, of Goff in the fourth quarter and all that kind of stuff. But from play to play, Detroit really outplayed them. So I'm not freaking out too much about them. I still have a lot of faith in them. I think they're going to be really good. But now they go in and face an Arizona team who maybe that team is really good. Like, I didn't have any faith in their defense being good this season. I thought Arizona was going to lose a bunch of 38-35 games, but they throttled the Rams last week. And you look back at week 1, the first half, they did a really good job against Buffalo. So maybe that defense is better than I thought, and that team is going to be a surprise playoff team, Arizona. So of all the games this week, I'm most interested in, I think Detroit-Arizona could be fascinating. I think that could be a really, really entertaining up-and-down game, and we could, we might be coming out of that game saying, wow, Arizona's legit.
Frank, you are an award-winning prognosticator, all right? You don't want to pat yourself on the back, so I will. You've done some good things in the past, picking games among your peers. 6.5 is the line tonight. The Patriots are catching 6.5 at the Jets. What's your feel on that game?
A very, very tepid pick on the Jets. Because the problem, and I talked about it before, is a scheduling thing. Like, you play, again, at Monday night week 1 against a physical Rams team, on the road week 2, and then the NFL's like, that's fine, you can play on Thursday night. Like, that is so unfair to them and so ridiculous, but I just think they're a better team. I'm not buying in on the Patriots being good. They played hard, they played well, hats off to them, but I'm still a little skeptical. And so I'll take the Jets -6.5, although big favorites on Thursday night is generally not my jam, but I'll go with it tonight.
I love the tepid pick. That is something I'm going to be using many times throughout the season. Frank, thank you, buddy.
You don't have to. Just remember, you don't have to take every single game on the board. You can pass a few of them.
Yes. That's a great point.
Yeah, well, we got to make our picks. I'm like, this one's tepid also.
Thanks, Frank.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Be good. There you go. Week 3. You have now sat down. The table is set. We are ready to feast as we get ready for a kickoff in 3 hours. Here on The Fan.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh. Downy the rinse straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes 100% of odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.